Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Taking on my head as my own property, the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Acharya Advaita Chandra, Swarup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami, I, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, have thus described the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Please repeat. Taking on my head as my own property, the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Acharya Advaita Chandra, Swarup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami, I, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, have thus described the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, Advaita Prabhu, Swarup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das, and their followers are all accepted by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Anyone who follows in the footsteps of Kaviraj Goswami also accepts the lotus feet of the above-mentioned lords as his personal property. For a materialistic person, material wealth and opulence are only illusory. Actually, they are not possessions but entanglements, because by enjoying the material world, a conditioned soul becomes more and more entangled by incurring debts for his present enjoyment. Unfortunately, a conditioned soul considers property for which he is in debt to be his own, and he is very busy acquiring such property. But a devotee considers such property not real property, but simply an entanglement in the material world. If Lord Krishna is very much pleased with a devotee, he takes away his material property, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.88.8, where Lord Krishna says, Yashyaham anugrihnami harishitad tanam shanai. To show special favor to a devotee, I take away all his material property. Similarly, Narottam Das Thakur says, Dhana mora nityananda radha krishna sri charana se mora prana dhana. My real riches are Nityananda Prabhu and the lotus feet of Sri Radha and Krishna. He further prays, O Lord, kindly give me this opulence. I do not want anything but your lotus feet as my property. Sri Narottam Das Thakur has sung in many places that his real property is the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Unfortunately, we are interested in unreal property and are neglecting our real property. Adane yatana kori dana tiyagino. Sometimes smartas consider Raghunath Das Goswami a Shudra. But Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami here especially mentions Swarup Rupa Raghunatha Das. Therefore, one who considers the lotus feet of Raghunath Das to be transcendental to all divisions of the caste system enjoys the riches of actual spiritual bliss. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila, 13th chapter, describing the advent of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Acharya Advaita Chandra Swarup Rupa Raghunatha Dasa Inga Sabar Sri Charana Sri Vande Nityadana Janma Lila Gaila Krishna Dasa. Taking on my head as my own property the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Acharya Advaita Chandra, Swarup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami, I, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, have thus described the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistang Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vande Hung Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitangs Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitangs Cha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpati Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostati Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhi Brindavanishwari Brishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Kalpatarupyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Danam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Sorry. Quite tired today. Saturday night Harinam, get back late. Got up early, well, by my standards, early. Managed to shake my daughter to wake her up so she can go to Krishna Club. So hopefully my brain will not malfunction. That sometimes happens when we get tired. So I request the blessings of all the devotees. I can say something relevant, something hopefully inspiring. It's a wonderful time of the year, the Prabhupada Marathon. There's a nice verse in the 8th canto. Tapyanti loka tapena sadava prayasho janaha paramaradhanam tadhi purushasya kilatmanaha. That great souls almost always voluntarily undergo suffering for the sake of the people in general. And such service is the greatest form of worship of the Lord. Wonderful verse. So we can meditate on that. For those of you who are taking the austerity to go out and distribute Prabhupada's books and undergoing austerity, you can meditate on this, that this is actually the highest form of worship of the Lord. And it's also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah? Yata tasman manushyeshu kaschid me priyakritmaha bhavata nachami tasmad anya priyatarobhavi. There's no servant in the world more dear to me than him, nor will there ever be one more dear. So we should always remember that this Sankirtan Yajna, and it takes many forms, is the most dear, the most precious type of service to the Lord. It is the most dear to the Lord. It is the highest form of worship of the Lord. Actually, it's said that the Kanishtha Adhikari worships the Lord but neglects the devotees. But the Majjhima Adhikari understands that the devotees are part of the absolute truth and therefore worships the devotees as well. You know, was it Lord Shiva? He says, Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnu aradhanam param tasmad parataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. Worship of all types of worship, worship of Vishnu is the highest, but higher even than that is worship of the devotees of Vishnu. There are some things to consider. So when the marathon finishes, if you still have fuel in the tank, you can carry on, you know, just carry on with the service. I think if I had to do a marathon all the time, I think I'd crack, probably break. It's too much austerity. But some people, maybe they can carry on. So after December, if you just feel like going on, you know, this is wonderful, this is nectar, then why not do a January marathon, a February marathon? Do a marathon all year round, if you can cope. I remember one time, Kadamba Kanar Maharaj, he was discussing how much effort we should put in. So he described three zones. He said there's the comfort zone, there's the stretching zone, and then there's the stress zone. So we want to avoid the comfort zone. We want to push ourselves. So we go to the stretching zone. But we don't want to be in the stress zone for too long, because it actually stresses out the body and you can actually become sick from overwork. So we have to be moderate. But moderate doesn't mean comfort zone. It means we should stretch ourselves. So during the month of December, we stretch ourselves, and we may even be stressed. The stress zone is okay for a while, but if you stay in that zone, you'll become sick. Your body will just break down. So we want to try and stretch ourselves and stay in the stretch zone as much as possible. It's a good meditation. That way we can make spiritual advancement. So today's verse, it's the last verse of the chapter. So nearly every chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita ends with a different verse to this. So it's a lot of chapters, so some of you will know this verse. What's the normal way that Kaviraj Goswami ends a chapter? Anyone know the verse? Shri Rupa Raghunatha Padi Jara Ash Chaitanya Charitamrita Kohi Krishna Das. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he says, I'm praying for the mercy of Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswami, following in their footsteps. I, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, narrate Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is roughly how it's translated. So this is very appropriate. We can learn from this the way to end a chapter, that when we write transcendental literature, we must always be submissive and following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. If we have any other concept, then we're not actually qualified to write transcendental literature. And being a great scholar itself is not a qualification. We have the example of Vyankata. Is it Vyankata Ubad? Who's the devotee that surpassed Sridhar Maharaj? Sorry, Sridhar Swami commentator. I don't remember. It's not Vyankata Ubad, is it? Because he was from the Sri Sampradaya. Anyway, trying to think it is. It's Vallabhacharya, yes. Sorry. Vallabhacharya. So he wrote a commentary and he thought that he had surpassed Sridhar Swami. So what did Mahaprabhu say? He actually made a play on words. He said, you know, anyone who rejects their Swami is a prostitute. So the word Swami means husband, also meant Sridhar Swami. So what he was doing, he was actually criticizing Vallabhacharya, criticizing him, saying, you think you have surpassed Sridhar Swami, but actually that means that your commentary itself is useless. And we also know in the Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidi Pranipatina Paritprashnena Sevaya Upadikshanti Tegina Gyaninas Tadvadarshinaha, that we should approach the spiritual master and be submissive. We should serve Sevaya. Submission means Pranipatina. And then we should question Pariprashna. So if the submission is not there, then the flow of nectar, the flow of spiritual knowledge does not come about. So it's very instructive to think or to consider that at the end of every chapter, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is giving all honor, all respect to the previous acharyas. And he describes them as Nitya Dhana, which means? Nitya means personal, and Dhana means wealth. Yeah. So the purport is describing wealth. It's describing spiritual wealth, which is the lotus feet of the previous acharyas, and it's also describing material wealth, which is said to be an illusion. The purport describes material wealth to be an illusion. Here's one example of how material wealth is an illusion. Actually, the whole world is an illusion. When Sanatan Goswami was traveling to Jagannath Puri, he passed through Jarikanda forest and he bathed in contaminated water. He was also eating very little. So what happened was, as we all know the story, he developed sores, weeping sores all over his body. So when he got to Jagannath Puri, he had a problem. He wanted to see Lord Jagannath, but he decided he would stay away from the temple because he was thinking that it would be offensive if any devotee were to touch his contaminated body. He was also distressed that Lord Chaitanya would come and take his association and he would embrace him and touch him. And Sanatana Goswami, he urged Lord Chaitanya, please don't touch my body. You're the Supreme Personality of God and I'm contaminated. Please don't touch my body. So he's feeling anxiety. He spoke of his anxiety to Jagadananda Pandit. Jagannatha Pandit had a plan. He said, well, why don't you wait for Ratha Yatra? Then you'll get to see Lord Jagannath. Then after that, go to Vrindavan. After all, Mahaprabhu has already instructed you to go to Vrindavan. So if you go to Vrindavan, he won't touch your body. Problem solved. So Sanatana Goswami thought, this is a great idea. So he told Mahaprabhu, this was his plan. What was Mahaprabhu's reaction? Does anyone know? He was annoyed, yes. Why was he annoyed? Was it what? He said, it is not the position of Jagadananda Pandit to give you instruction. He said, you are like the guru of Jagadananda Pandit. He actually uses the phrase guru tulya. He said, actually, even I take instruction from you. Mahaprabhu said, even I take instruction from Sanatana Goswami. Then he explained, actually, for the body of a devotee, it is not material, it is spiritual. Actually, scriptures say this. It says that at the time of initiation, the body of the devotee is considered equal to Krishna in Krishna's eyes. Krishna considers this body is equal to me. And then he said, even if your body were material, still, what is good and bad in this material world? It's all an illusion. And then Mahaprabhu quoted a verse from the 11th canto, Kim Badram Kim Abhadram Va. What is good, what is bad, is all just an illusion. We cannot measure these things in the material world. It is anrita, it is false, it is vachoditam, it is simply words, but of no reality. And it's manasajatam, it's simply a meditation on the mind, of the mind. Mahaprabhu then said, Dvaiti Badra Badra Gyan Sabha Mano Dharma E Bhalo E Manda E Sabha Brahm. To consider good and bad in this material world is simply duality. It is Mano Dharma. It is the workings of the mind. E Bhalo, it is good. E Manda, it is bad. Is simply Brahm, illusion. Then he says, Vijavinaya Sampani, Brahmani Gavi Hastani, Shuni Chaiva Svapakicha, Pandita Samadarshanaha. It's from the fifth chapter of the Gita that the learned and gentle Brahman, the Pandit considers the learned and gentle Brahman, the cow, the dog, the dog eater, and so forth, the elephant, all with an equal vision. So these are strong instructions. We should understand that if we consider good and bad in this material world, we're on the mental platform. Manoratenasati davato bahi. We're riding the chariot of the mind. So Mahaprabhu explained to Sanatana Goswami, actually, whether I touch your body or not, it's not. There is no such thing as good and bad in this material world. Actually, for Mahaprabhu, Sanatana Goswami's body, the pus that was coming out, was smelt like sandalwood pulp. And also he's described as chatusama. Anyone heard this phrase? It means a combination of sandalwood, camphor, aguru, and one other substance. I forget what it is. Chatusama. So Sanatana Goswami's body is very, very pure. It's very fragrant. And as we know, darshani pravitra koro e tomara gun, just to see a devotee is purifying. And just to touch his body is purifying. This is Narottam Das Thakur explains this way. Now from Sanatana Goswami's perspective, he considered his body contaminated. So it said, Premara Swabhava Premara Sambandha Se Mani Krishni Mora Nahi Premaganda. That it is the nature of prema that when one has prema, one considers, I do not have a fraction of love of God. So Sanatana Goswami, he was very, very humble. So he's considering, oh, I don't want to go near the devotees. I do not want anyone to touch my body. I am so contaminated. But actually, we actually know that the body of the devotee is very, very pure. So the wealth, we're discussing wealth. So the reason I brought up this pastime is because the purport mentions how wealth is an illusion. So we should not place any value on the material world. You know, there's the pastime of Sanatana Goswami in the touchstone. So on one occasion, Lord Shiva, he instructed a poor Brahmin. He said, you want the highest wealth? Go to Sanatana Goswami. So this Brahmin, when he went to Sanatana Goswami, when he found out that Sanatana Goswami had the touchstone can turn anything to gold, he asked Sanatan Goswami for the touchstone. So Sanatan Goswami said, yeah, it's over there. And he pointed to where there was some rubbish just lying around. So the Brahmin, he took the touchstone and he went away. And then he had some intelligence. He thought, wait a minute, if Sanatan Goswami is keeping the touchstone just in amongst the rubbish, he must have some higher wealth. So he went back to Sanatan Goswami and he said, do you have a higher wealth? Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Shri Gornitai ki jai. He asked Sanatan Goswami, you have some higher wealth? Sanatan Goswami said, yes, I do. But I will not give it to you unless you throw the touchstone in the water. Now, this itself is a good instruction. We're encouraged to depend on Krishna, but we should not have the attitude, okay, Krishna, when you provide for me, then I will stop my material activity. You think that way, right? Okay, I will depend on you fully, Krishna. So what I'll do is, if you send me money that will cover my expenses for today, I will not work tomorrow, okay? And then if you keep doing that, for every day that you do that, I will not work. Therefore, I will depend on you. No, we have to actually have faith. This is the understanding of scripture. Shraddha Shabdi Vishvasakohi Sudhida Nichaya Krishna Bhakta Koila Sarva Karma Krita Hoy. One has to have faith that just by performing Krishna Bhakti, all one's duties are all fulfilled, completely fulfilled. This itself is an interesting verse. It's talking about duty. One should be fearful that if I just surrender to Krishna, then will my duties be fulfilled? One should have this fear. We have a different fear. We think, if I surrender to Krishna, will my necessities be provided for? We're not thinking of duty, we're thinking of necessities. So in the purport, of course, it's mentioned here that the foolish person thinks that by acquiring wealth, they've gained something, but actually it's entanglement because it incurs debt. So we'll talk about that later. But let's go back to the story of Sanatana Goswami. So the Brahmin, he then threw the touchstone in the river and went back to Sanatana Goswami, and then Sanatana Goswami gave him the highest wealth. What did he give him? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He gave him the Maha Mantra, which is, of course, the highest wealth. So, what was I mentioning before I finished the story? I mentioned I was going to go back to something. Real property. What was I talking about? Actually, I know what I was going to say. I was talking about the mind, how the mind's the chariot of the mind. So here's an interesting story about that indicates or demonstrates the workings of the mind. So there was once a farmer. He's working in the field in the hot sun all day. So he takes his produce, goes to the market to sell it. So he makes a little profit, but he notices, he sees the market stallholders, they're sitting in the shade, chewing pan, making a big profit. And he thinks to himself, I'd rather be one of those stallholders instead of working, slogging away in the field. You know, I just want to sit there and in the shade, make a good profit. In the meantime, the stallholder, he's doing his work, and then the king's men come. And then they extract a large part of his profits in tax. So the stallholder's lamenting. He's thinking, you know, I wish I could be the king, cream off all the tax. Now, the king's in his palace, and he's surrounded by all his ministers, and he's got a big headache. He doesn't know when his rival kings are going to attack. He doesn't know which ministers to trust, which are spies, which are honest. He's got problems in the kingdom, unrest, doesn't know how to solve it. So he looks out from the top of his palace, and he sees the farmer in the field, and he thinks, I just want a simple life. If only I could be the farmer in the field. So this is the nature of the mind, never happy. Sankalpa vikalpa. The mind is accepting and rejecting. So the purport is explaining to us that our real wealth is the lotus feet of the acharyas. And the false wealth is the wealth of this material world. So we should understand that it is simply the dharma of our mind to place value on material things. Now, can we say that the lotus feet of our previous acharyas are our wealth? You see, Narottam Das Goswami, he's saying it all the time, as is mentioned in the purport. He also says, Shri Rupa Manjari Pada, Se Mora Sampad, that the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami are my real wealth. So how do we actually attain that real wealth? It's Mahajano Yena Gata Sapanta. We follow in the footsteps of the Acharyas. Now, it's interesting, this verse is describing how, as Kaviraj Goswami does at the end of each chapter, I narrate the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. So this is really about what is the qualification to narrate transcendental literature. On one occasion, Prabhupada said, if you are self-realized, then you can write unlimited literature. So what if you're not self-realized? This is the thing. This is a very good instruction. We should be very cautious about writing. Now, Srila Prabhupada was very happy when his disciples wrote, and he encouraged them all to write, to submit articles to Back to Godhead. But we should also be careful about our qualification to write. We don't want to muddy the water. If we're not pure, then what we write might not be perfect. It might not be properly composed. It might not be transcendental. It might have some flaws in it. We have to be very careful of that. Give the example of the Bengali poet. You know, this past time there was a Bengali poet and he wrote some literature. The devotees of Mahaprabhu thought this literature was wonderful. And they were urging Swarup Damodar to read it, because Swarup Damodar, he was like the filter. He would filter literature and he would only allow literature that was philosophically correct and was not in violation of the principles of rasa to be read to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Swarup Damodar, he was not at all inclined to even look at this literature. But after being repeatedly petitioned, he finally said, okay. So he took the literature and then he read it and he was disgusted with it. And he deconstructed it. He actually said to the Bengali poet, he said, you have made Lord Chaitanya like a jiva, and you have made Lord Jagannath like a lump of wood. Because the poet was saying, Lord Chaitanya has entered into the deity of Jagannath, given it life. So this was just philosophically incorrect. And then he chastised the Brahmana, the Bengali poet, and then he instructed him. What did he say to him? Anyone know? Famous verse about having to go to the feet of the Vaishnav. You know? Was it Jaha Bhagavata Padi Vaishnavera Stani? Said, go to the lotus feet of the Vaishnav and study Srimad Bhagavatam under his direction. In order to understand transcendental literature, we must take shelter of the Vaishnav, the pure Vaishnav. And Rupa Goswami, he says this is one of the 64 most important items. There are five most important items, limbs of devotional service. And one of them is Srimad Bhagavatar Tanam Asvado Rasikai Saha. One should relish the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam under the direction of the advanced devotees. Rasikai Saha means those who are expert in tasting rasa. And the Srimad Bhagavatam begins with the same statement. Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Mahuraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavukaha. The Bhagavatam is relished by those who are bhavuka, expert in transcendental knowledge, and rasika, expert in the mellows of devotion. On the subject of the Bhagavatam also begins Vejam Vastavam Atravastu Shivadam Tapatrayon Mulanam. We should distinguish reality from illusion. So on the topic of wealth, material wealth is illusion, spiritual wealth is reality. So if we want to know how advanced we are, then we can simply look at what we value. Our values will determine how advanced we are. You think you're pure? Then consider how would you feel if you suddenly won £1 million. I know one devotee. This is a funny story. I didn't tell him off, but it was a crazy thing he was doing. He was playing the lottery, and he said to me, I want to win £1 million to give to my Guru Maharaj. That's what he's saying. So therefore, I play the lottery. So I was thinking afterwards, well, if Krishna wants you to give £1 million to your guru. He doesn't need you to gamble in order to do it. I'm sure he'll find some other way to provide the money. We should have faith in Krishna. Anyway. If we want to know how advanced we are, we simply look into our hearts. How would you feel if you won the lottery? Of course, we don't play the lottery. I remember a brahmachari, when I used to live in Sydney, he bought some batteries from a garage and was automatically entered into a prize draw. And then he won the draw, so he won a car. And guess what happened? We never saw this brahmachari for 6 months. He disappeared and drove around in his nice car. He was having great fun. And then finally he came back and said, okay, enough of that, back to brahmachari life. So it's probably good that we don't actually have so much wealth. We might misuse it. Actually, the purport explains, when Krishna wants to give special mercy, he takes away one's wealth. That is a famous verse from the 10th canto. Yasyaham anugrihnami harishitadanam shanai tato danam tadanchasya svajana dukadukitam. This is when I want to show special favor to a devotee, I take away his wealth. Therefore, in that poverty-stricken condition, his relatives reject him, and he takes full shelter of me. Therefore, it is wonderful when one's wealth is taken away. So who's going to pray for that? Anyone ready? Okay. Srila Prabhupada, he would often quote this verse, and he identified with it. Because in his business activities, he met with one failure after another. And he saw it in this way as Krishna's mercy. One time, Prabhupada said, Krishna tested me. He took away my wealth just to see how I would react. And I remained equipoised. And then he said, now he's testing me again. He's giving me so much wealth. When he founded the Hare Krishna movement, so much wealth Prabhupada generated. And he goes, this is also a test, but I am remaining equipoised. Prabhupada compared himself to the Goswamis. He said, they sleep under a different tree every day. I sleep in a different temple every day. It's the same thing. So this is our test. How do we react to this wealth? So if you look into your heart and you see a desire for material wealth, then you know it's still some advancement to be made. If you consider the wealth of Srila Prabhupada's feet to be your greatest wealth, then I offer my obeisances to you, Hare Krishna. This is what we want. So actually there's a part two to this. Elsewhere, the Prabhupada says that when one's wealth is taken away, that is the greatest mercy. But elsewhere he says that is not special mercy. What does he mean by that? Does anyone know? On one hand he says it's special mercy, but elsewhere he says it is not special mercy. Actually, he explains that special mercy has the first installment and the second installment. And this is explained in the pastime of Bali Maharaj. So the first mercy was that Vamanadeva took everything away from Bali Maharaj. But the second installment of mercy was he then gave him everything. He gave him planet Sutala and he became the doorkeeper. So the Lord, he likes to glorify his devotees. He likes to show how they are so sober that they can handle vast amounts of wealth and not be bewildered. He likes to glorify his devotees, make them famous, so he gives them wealth. That is the real mercy. So that is the real special mercy. Prabhupada explains this way. So there's the two installments of mercy. Now we live in the Kali Yuga. Now in the Kali Yuga, Dharma is thrown out the window. And in business, it's all about cheating, right? Cheating is considered intelligence in this age of Kali Yuga. If you're good at cheating someone, you're considered to be a good businessman. So recently in Bombay, Radhana Swami, he gave a keynote speech at a function. It's referred to as the Artha Forum, which I assume in that context, Artha means purpose, because the motto is trade with purpose and spend with compassion. So Radhana Swami, he's trying to encourage business people to not exploit, not to be greedy. In fact, in the speech, he said, exploitation and greed are ignorance. Yeah? If we do business like that, it is ignorance. And what is the result? It is short-term gain and long-term loss. We have to pay the reaction for that. So in the purport, Prabhupada explains that when we actually take from this material world, we incur a debt. Now, we don't see the debt. We see what we take, but we don't see the debt. But an intelligent person will understand from Scripture that actually we incur a debt. So actually we're born into debt. There's a verse from the 11th canto. Devarshi bhutaptan rinam pitrinam na kinkaron nayam rine charajan sarvatmanaya sharanam sharanyam gatomakundam pariricha kartam. That if we do not surrender fully to the Supreme Personality of God in Mukunda, then we have so many debts. Deva, the debt to the demigods, they're providing the sun and the rain and so forth. Rishi, we have the debt to the rishis for giving us spiritual knowledge. Buddha, living entities in general. We have, for example, the tree gives us fruit. The cow gives us milk. Living entities in general are helping us. The whole ecosystem, which we benefit from, is working in balance due to the activities of all the animals. Bhutaptan, Divarshi, Bhutaptan, Nrinam, Nrina. We have the debt to men in general. You know, when we're born into the world, we have a house to live. We have a doctor to help us, help our mother give birth, etc. All these facilities. We have schools. They're all there to help us. We have a debt to all these people. Pitrinam, we have a debt to our forefathers in so many ways. So that debt has to be repaid. Now, the way to repay, as devotees, the easiest way to repay, we're not experts in karma kanda. We don't know how to perform all the various yajnas and so forth to offer oblations to the forefathers, etc., demigod worship. We're not expert in that. We simply worship Krishna. Yajyai sankirtana prayai yajanti hi sumera saha. We just simply chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So if we take full shelter of the Lord, then all these debts disappear. So the question is, at what point do we know we've taken full surrender? Because there's another verse from the 11th canto, Tavad karmani kurvita, Nanir Vijeta Yavata, Matkata Shravana Dauva, Shraddha Yavan Najayati. It states, unless we have given up our material desires and we have developed faith in hearing Krishna Katha, then we still have our debts to society. That's the standard. Now, a lot of devotees make a mistake. They think, because I'm a devotee, I have no debt. And then what they do, they then perform materialistic activities. This is actually hypocrisy. You've actually slipped through the net. See, you either take shelter of Krishna or else you perform your duties according to karma kanda. If you do neither, then you're in an even worse situation. So if, for example, a devotee thinks, and actually I think the Western devotees tend to do this more because we're not educated in karma kanda. But we have this idea, you know, let me serve Krishna. Then if, for example, we fall down, then we kind of think, okay, well, I'm not going to perform pious activities because that's just maya. It's devotional service or nothing else. So I'm too fallen to perform devotional service, so I'll just engage in abominable activities. And they think, there's no point doing pious activities because it's not devotional, it is just mundane. Now, this is the even worse situation. You'd be better off performing pious activities than performing no devotional activities at all. You see, if we just perform abominable activities, then we get bad karma. That's vikarma. The Bhagavad Gita talks about three types of activities. Vikarma means forbidden activity. Karma means activity according to karma kand. It's material, but at least it gives a good reaction. And then there's akarma, which means devotional service. So if we perform devotional service, we don't need. And if we're performing it purely, we don't need to perform other activities of karma. But we can't slip through the net. So it's an interesting point. What do we do if we have material desires? Should we perform karma kanda activities? or devotional activities. Well, actually, the Bhagavatam explains Akama, Savakarmava, Moksha Kama, Udaradi, Tivrena Bhakti Yogina, Yajeta Purusham Param. Whether we have all desires or no desires, or we desire liberation, the answer is the same. We should always worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, in the fifth canto, there's a lovely verse that describes what happens when someone with material desires worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Lord's lotus feet are described as Icha Pidanam Nija Pada Palavam. Does anyone know this phrase? Icha Pidanam Nija Pada Palavam. It's from the fifth canto. Satyam Dishat Artitam Artino Rinam Yadartita Yat Puna Artita Yataha Svayam Vidate Bhajatam Anichatam Icha Pidanam Nija Pada Palavam. What it means is, if one approaches the Lord with material desires, then the Lord fulfills those desires in such a way that one will never ask for them again. And he covers those material desires and gives the person shelter at his lotus feet. So even if we approach the Lord with desires, he will fulfill them and take them away and give us something we did not even ask for. Shelter at his lotus feet. So which famous devotee is an example of this? Yes. Dhruva Maharaj. He wanted a kingdom greater than Lord Brahma, and instead he got Krishna. And what did he say? Kacham vichinvan api divyaratnam. What's the last line? Tosmi varam na yachi. He said, I was searching for broken glass, and I obtained a diamond. So he says to the Lord, Swamin kritartosmi varam nayachi. I do not desire anything now. Now I mentioned that the second installment of mercy, the Lord gives everything. So what did the Lord do? He said, you desire nothing, but I want to give it to you anyway. I will give you the pole star, Dhruvaloka. So he desired nothing, felt ashamed actually. He'd approached the Lord for material things, but then when he attained the Lord, he realized how foolish he was. This is a lovely example. Now, in one lecture, Prabhupada gives another story. He tells the story of a professional Bhagavatam reciter, and he was describing Krishna and how Krishna has so many jewels. So in the audience, there was a thief, and he was thinking, I want to go to Vrindavan and find this Krishna, and I will steal his jewels. So he made his way to Vrindavan, he went to the forest, and he found Krishna. And he befriended Krishna, and then he revealed his real purpose. He said, can you give me your jewels? And Krishna goes, no, my mother, she'll be very unhappy if I give away my jewels. And then later, after making friends with the thief, Krishna says, okay, you can take my jewels. But by that time, the thief had become a devotee. So he didn't want the jewels. He was happy. He had Krishna. Krishna is our highest wealth. So, I was considering, on the topic of wealth, we should do whatever we can in giving charity so that we feel the pinch. I remember one time Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj was giving class. He was talking about charity. And he said, you should feel the pinch. So if, for example, someone is a millionaire and then they give £1, £2, £3 or whatever, then you know, there's no feeling of the pinch. You know, the saying is that Krishna, he sees what you give, but he also sees what you're keeping back, right? So if you have a lot of wealth and you only give a little bit, then you should understand that you've actually not given very much. Consider the example of Kulavecha Sridhar. So he was practically poverty-stricken. He was poverty-stricken. He used to just make the little banana leaf plates. And the Lord, he would come, and the Lord would steal his stuff. And it was a big rasa. But from the Lord's perspective, Kulavecha Sridhar He was a great renunciate. He's known as Akinchana Gochara, one who has no possessions. It says in the first canto, Janmaishvarya Shuta Shribir Eda Mada Mana Puman Naiva Hart Jabidatum Vai Tvam Akinchana Gocharam. If one has wealth, one has good beauty, education, good birth, and one is not bewildered by those things, then one is Akinchana Gochara. One is considered to be one has Krishna, and Krishna is Akinchana Gochara. He's the property of those who have no property. So the actual meaning of this, it doesn't mean whether or not you have a lot of wealth. It means whether you're attached or not. For example, Kulavecha Sridhar, he had no wealth, but he had the greatest wealth. He had Krishna. But he's a Akinchana Gochara in the sense that he's detached. Now, you have the example of Ramananda Roy. He's very wealthy. Or the Goswamis, Raghunath Das Goswami, spectacularly wealthy. He was also a Akinchana Gochara because he was not attached. It's said that he had his wife was as beautiful as an apsara, and his wealth was comparable to Indra. And yet still, he was trying his best to escape from family life and see the Lord. So this is an example of someone who is Akinchana Gochara, because he's not bewildered by wealth. So back to Rasamrita Maharaj, he was explaining, he says, actually, when we give in charity, we should feel the pinch. And by doing that, we get purified. So, for example, in the month of December, this is a great month to sponsor books. If you don't want to go out and distribute books, you can sponsor, or you can do both. You can sponsor and distribute. This is the greatest wealth. Yesterday was Gita Jayanti. It's interesting, the word Jayanti. Jayanti, we sometimes have the phrase Krishna Jayanti, right? The birth of Krishna. Now, this chapter is describing the advent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we have the phrase Gaura Jayanti, means the birth of Gauranga. Now, Bhakti Vikas Swami, he's written a lovely book, biography of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. So there's an interesting discussion about the word Jayanti in there. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati explained, he says, the word Jayanti refers to a specific constellation. It's when Rohini is conjoined with the moon in the month of Bhadra, in the dark fortnight, on the eighth day. So that's the Krishna Paksha, Ashtami, in the month of Bhadra. So that is the astrological position at the time of the birth of Krishna. Therefore, Jayanti only refers to the time of Krishna's birth. Sometimes we see devotees, they talk about Balaram Jayanti. Actually, the constellation at the time of Balaram's birth is different. So Krishna Jayanti is correct. And because Gaura and Krishna are the same, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati considered Gaura Jayanti also to be the same, to be a correct term. Now, we have the Gita Jayanti, that's fine. Srila Prabhupada used that term. But if you check the folio, for example, you won't find Prabhupada using Balaram Jayanti or Ram Jayanti. So we shouldn't use these terms. There's one in one conversation, he uses the term Buddha Jayanti. I'm not sure why he did that. It was in a conversation. Maybe it was loose talk. I don't know. I don't know why he said that. There's one purport. Prabhupada criticizes the term Jayanti in connection to famous people. Because there's a tendency in India, you know, to glorify a famous person and refer to his birth as Jayanti. But actually, that also is incorrect. We wouldn't say Gandhi Jayanti, for example. There's one purport in the first canto, Prabhupada criticizes this. So we should be careful about the use of the word Jayanti. Anyway, I was talking about Gita Jayanti. So yesterday was a great day to sponsor Gitas. It's amazing the book scores today, wasn't it? There was just the small books alone, it was 10,000. I mean, consider several years ago, the total for the whole marathon was something like 20,000 or 30,000. And that many small books, half of that was distributed yesterday alone. It's amazing how much was distributed yesterday. Sankirtan Yagya Ki Jai.